It's the Earth Day celebration at the DGDG Mazda stores. Capital Mazda, Stevens Creek Mazda, Concord Mazda, and Team Mazda. Hey, it's Sean Del Gran. And this April, we've got outstanding offers on brand new Mazdas. Plus, we've partnered with One Tree Planted to help reforest areas of Northern California. We pledge to plant one tree for every vehicle we sell. Don't miss the Earth Day celebration at the DGDG Mazda stores in San Jose, Concord, and Vallejo.
You're listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light.
Scores! Logan Couture wins it in overtime.
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Off the faceoff here, Ruda throws to the front of the net. The shot, they score! Right in front of the net, Jacob MacDonald driving in. And all the Sharks did was throw it to the net from the corner, and look what happened. MacDonald makes it a one-goal game with 6:44 to play.
That and our net front coverage. I mean, listen, there's a lot of things to like about our game. This has come too easy for our opponent, and it's an area we've really got to get better at. And tonight, to me, it was around the net front. We were soft around our net too often. Our puck management wasn't great. Too many blind hole plays. And it costs us. You know, that being said, it's 5-4 with 5 minutes to go and hold that team to 25 shots and 10 chances, scoring chances against 5-on-5. You know, we had a chance. And, you know, I think we've got to realize how close we are to winning hockey games. That's the thing that's frustrating. And, you know, we've got to make that next step. But there's a lot of like about our team. And I feel bad for our goalie because you can't blame him on any of them.
All right. Good morning, everyone. What is happening? Happy holidays. We are at the holiday break for the National Hockey League. And the Sharks are unfortunately going into the break on a negative note, a 5-game slide, their worst extended stretch of play since the 0-10-1 start to the season. What they have done recently has been kind of all over the place because they had, you know, games where their defense was there, but they didn't have the overwhelming force to get it done, like the 1-0 loss to Arizona. They had the major penalty against Colorado right off the bat, which saw them in a hole and get down 3-0 early and before they really could get their game going. They saw a very good LA team, the team that is the best on the road in the NHL, and, you know, they lost 4-1 in that game. They had a, you know, not a great performance against Arizona, losing 5-2 in that game. And then last night, they had a situation where they were chasing the game from the get-go, and they lost by a final of 7-4. And it's been kind of all over the place. And one of the things you heard David Quinn talking about there was just how they're making it too easy for their opponent. Now, in Arizona, when they lost 1-0, that was their last really good defensive performance. Since that point, they've given up 6, 4, 5, and 7, which is 22 goals in their last four games. I mean, that's just not going to get it done in any way, shape, or capacity. They're giving up over 5 goals a game. That is, that's making life too easy for your opposition. And if you think about what you're seeing out there on the ice, you know, it's the different ways they're making pucks available to their opponents, whether they're just giving it up, right? Whether they're turning it over is one of the most consistent things that we see. If you look at the end of that game against Arizona, the third period in particular was when the turnovers got started. And that was something that kind of got carried over into the game against Vancouver, where they were just giving up the puck too often and giving their opponent too many good looks. And if you give a team as good as Vancouver too many good looks, yeah, it's going to be not your great night on the ice. And the thing is like David Quinn said, the Sharks were there. I mean, this is a 5-4 game with 5 minutes to go, and that's not a terrible position to be in, a one-goal game, and you got to give the Sharks credit for getting themselves back into it. But if the battle is contrasted with the flaw, oftentimes, especially on the road, the flaw is going to take precedent or take prominence in the outcome of the game, and that's what happened. It's like the Sharks put up a good fight last night. I'm not trying to deny that in the slightest, but the overwhelming factor in what happened in last night's game was that they made life too easy on their opposition. If you make life easy on your opposition and you're not a hyper-talented team, then you're probably going to end up on the wrong side of it unless you get some sort of heroic performance from your goalkeeper, from a certain player, even though Mario Ferraro did have three assists last night, and I give him a lot of credit for that because he's been playing very good hockey, but the Sharks aren't good enough at this point to overcome their errors to that extent. This is something that I look at and I think to myself of like, okay, what are they going to do? What are they going to be able to overcome here? What are they going to be able to give themselves a better chance with? And ultimately, you hope that's what the break provides, just a little bit of a reset, just to get their heads right, just to get themselves in a better situation to where they can be playing overall better hockey, a little bit of a cleaner game, a little bit more cohesive, because they've been kind of all over the map. I know that we love to talk about what they did on that six-game road trip, where they just looked like an entirely different team and they were scoring goals. But on the flip side of that, while they were scoring goals, they were also bleeding goals. And then they came back home, and ever since then, the offense has been a little bit amiss. Only one against Winnipeg, getting shut out against Arizona. Two against Winnipeg, and then getting shut out against Arizona. Only getting two against Colorado, one against LA, two against Arizona. And then last night, they finally get their offense going a little bit, but at the same time, they give up seven goals. Now, I guess that's better than giving up six and only scoring two like they did against the Avs. But the fact of the matter is the Sharks have not been able to find a consistent formula for success up to this point. They're either outscoring their opponent and giving up a lot of goals, or they're not scoring much and keeping it a close game like their 2-1 win over Winnipeg, which kind of echoes their, you know, early season wins or early wins against Philadelphia and Edmonton, or their win against Vancouver that they had the third time they faced them. And it's not a good way to go about things. Like, the Sharks have not figured out their consistent formula. Now, I think it's easy to say that if they play a clean game and get good net minding and solid defense, that'll give them a better chance. But I would point no further than the game against Arizona, to where they played pretty decent defense in that game and got good goaltending, but they didn't have enough otherwise to get themselves the win in what was overall a winnable game. And that's really frustrating because, you know, that game to me was one they needed to win, because I knew that the schedule looked pretty tough with Colorado, LA, and Vancouver and Arizona again on the schedule after that game. And it was a point to where you're thinking, okay, they're, you know, 4-2-1 in their last seven after the road trip plus the win against Winnipeg. Had they been able to get that win, make it 5-2-1, yeah, they'd still be riding a four-game losing streak at this point. But a five-game losing streak, I will say, feels different than a four-game losing streak. And right now, this feels a little bit heavy, and it feels like something that's going to be weighing on them throughout the entirety of the break. And maybe that's a good thing. Maybe that's something they need to have happen to them so that they can get into the the next segment of scheduling when they get back from the break, where they will be taking on LA on the 27th, then the Oilers at home on the 28th, and then they are going to be in Colorado on the 31st. You know, that's three very difficult games, and I don't have to think, you know, too hard about that turning into an eight-game losing streak. I hope that is not what happens, but with two out of the next three on the road and all against potentially very good opponents, I know that Edmonton's been all over the place this year, but they still are a scary team. You know, this has the potential to get, you know, rough for the Sharks, and then they're home for three, facing Detroit, Winnipeg, and Toronto. Again, that's three more difficult games, and they go out on the road for five on the East Coast. This is not a good stretch for San Jose. They're going to have to work hard. They're going to have to clean up their game, and they've done it before where they've gotten things in order, but I think to the greater point that what we're seeing with the Sharks is there are going to be moments where they're going to play very good hockey as a team, like we saw on that 3-2-1 road trip and 4-2-1 stretch. They are capable of playing good hockey. They're also capable of creating very good opportunities for their opposition and playing very inconsistent games or being kind of all over the map from one game to the next. And I think that when you look at last night's game, it just shows you why you can't give a team a 2-0 lead on the road. Chasing a game on the road is the worst situation you can be in, because every time the Sharks got back into it, they tied it at 2, and then they quickly fell behind at 4-2, and then they got to 4-3, and then they fall back 5-3, and then they make it 5-4, and that was as close as they got. They were never able to overcome that 2-goal deficit to find themselves a lead. They found themselves a tie. I give them a lot of credit in that capacity. You give yourself a chance, but that just shows you how damaging that early 2-0 deficit is. You might be able to get away with that at home, and even if you're a good team at home, it's still going to be difficult. I remember a couple years ago, the opening game of the season, the Sharks faced the Jets, and they were down by 2 in that game, and they were able to come roaring back, but that was a different Sharks team. You still had Brent Burns at that point. It was an overall different scenario. And now you're looking at a team in a situation where you just don't have that ability to overpower the opposition. You know, if you can overpower who you're playing, that's great. I'm not going to argue with that. But being able to overpower versus being able to just kind of win those tight, close games and fight and chip your way back into it and take a lead and hold on to it, that's different. You know, you can sometimes get that surge and go from a 2-0 deficit to a 3-2 lead where you just come blinding and things, you know, change overnight. That's not what happened in this game. The other thing that's interesting is after the game, and we'll get into this in the next segment, was how absolutely furious Mackenzie Blackwood seemed. He did not give very long answers. He seemed pretty ticked off. And I do not think that he is blaming his teammates in the slightest. I think I've, in the limited capacity that I've gotten to know Mackenzie over the course of this season, I think he is one of those guys who thinks he should be able to stop everything. I think he's very realistic about it. And he made a riff about, well, you know, I don't have superhero reflexes. I can only do so much. But I think he's kind of ticked off that, you know, his team is giving up so many high danger situations and they're right in the slot or they're just, you know, getting screened or they're tip plays or one or another. He thinks that, you know, it's like, hey, give me a shot, right? Like, I think that's what's going through his head. He's thinking that he wants the opportunity to make the save. And I think he doesn't feel like he's in that position right now. So watching how he responds, watching what happens next for Mackenzie, I'll be very curious to see where he goes from this because it's not been an easy stretch for him. It's not been an easy stretch for his teammates. And I think that, you know, David Quinn wanted him to get rolling again. That's why he put him back in the lineup after the game that he had the other night against Arizona. He said, okay, let's give him another chance. Let's see if we can get a little bit of momentum here. And that wasn't the way it went down. And right now he's got to go and sit on that for a couple of days. And I imagine they're going to give Mackenzie the start on the road, going to give Capo the start on the road against LA on the 27th. And then it'll be Mackenzie again on the 28th. So he's going to have 5 days to sit on this one. And then we'll see who's in net on the 31st on New Year's Eve when they are in Colorado taking on the Avs. But, you know, that was one that I picked up on as well. Also, after the game, Mario Ferraro, in addition to having a great night, seemed like he was a little bit ticked off as well. And I think that's an important thing to be is that these guys have got to be sick of the losses. They've got to be sick of the self-inflicted wounds. They've got to be very frustrated at this point of what they're doing to themselves. And that's not to take anything away from their opposition. You lose to Colorado, LA, Arizona's been playing pretty good lately, Vancouver. You know, that's not the worst thing in the world. It's not like they're losing to the Ducks 6-2, no shot of the Ducks. I'm just saying, like, this is part of that reality right now. They are sick of the losing. They are giving themselves chances in games, but not enough. And, you know, I didn't hate their game against Colorado. I thought they got down early, partly in due to all the penalty trouble they got into. I didn't hate their game against LA. I thought LA just proved themselves to be a much better team. I didn't hate their game against Arizona. That was a 3-2 game where they got themselves back into it, but then they got some bad aspects of their game going, especially with turning the puck over. And then in this game, they got down 2-0, and they fought their way back into it. You know, every time that the Canucks tried to pull away, the Sharks got themselves right into it, and at 5-4, you're trying to create offense. I understand that's a difficult situation, especially on the road, and then, you know, you give up a goal at 6-4, then an empty netter. The positive is that at various instances, they gave themselves a chance to get back into the game. And I can't be too upset about the fact that they are getting themselves back into games. I will take that fight anytime they want to give it. But the fact of the matter is, every time they got themselves back into it, they immediately saw momentum going the other way. It's a 2-2 game, and then boom, suddenly it's 4-2. And that's tough because you felt momentum swinging when in, you know, in the first period, you're down in the first 7 minutes of the game, 2-0. And then you are able to respond in the second half of the period, getting goals from Granlin and Hurdle. And you find yourself right there ready to get that win. Like you're thinking, okay, we fought back from that 2-0 deficit. We absorbed it. Can we carry this momentum? And this is the difficulty of being on the road is that, you know, the crowd, the environment can suck that momentum away from you. And it did very, very quickly into the second period as they made it 3-2 and 4-2. Sharks get themselves back into it, make it 4-3. And then they just extend that lead again out to 5-3. And then McDonald, you know, in the third, getting them right back into it. It's 5-4. And then all of a sudden, it's just two more quickly after that to make it a 7-4 final. And that's just all she wrote for San Jose, which is disappointing. But at the same time, you know, they gave themselves a chance. I won't argue with the chances that they're giving themselves, but I will take umbrage with the turning the puck over, mismanaging the puck, giving your opponent really dangerous opportunities. The Sharks are not a team that can absorb their mistakes. You have to be very, very good in the NHL to be able to absorb your mistakes. The Sharks can't. You know, if you look at the games they've won this year, they have been able to have wild comebacks and ride momentum, but that's different than being able to make life easy on your opposition. Like, sometimes momentum is going to come in the NHL. You do that, you ride it, you see what happens, you come out on the other side. It's not a formula for a win. You know, they got down 4-0 against Detroit, but that's one game where I would say, okay, but they weren't playing terrible hockey. There were some really, really strange things that happened in the start of that game that made the scoreline not indicative of the way I would have thought it would have gone down. Instead, the Sharks were able to turn that narrative on its head and turn things around. That was a weird game. Or, you know, against the Rangers, a game where they were down, you know, 6-3 and they came fighting back in that one. Still, a chance where they gave themselves a shot and they've been fighting back all game long. This was one where they just made their life far too easy on their opposition, and it came back to bite them. That's pretty much all I can take away from this game, is they gave themselves a very, very steep hill to climb. Can't do that. Just can't do that. All right, we're going to take a break. On the other side, we are going to get into some post-game sound and some interesting thoughts on Jack Studnicka that I got from Brennan Batchelor, the play-by-play voice of the Canucks. I interviewed him yesterday. Did not find time to fit that interview into my pregame show on the build-up, but I thought he had some interesting things to say as well. So we'll get into all that on the other side. You're listening to Morning Tide on the Sharks Audio Network.
That to-do list you have needs one more thing. Chill. It's an easy thing to do. Just crack open an ice-cold Coors Light and chill. Take the afternoon off and binge-watch anything. Go to happy hour and stay for a couple hours. Who's counting anyways? Or hang out with just your dog because you've had enough human interaction this week. Whatever you do, do it with a Coors Light. Mountain Cold Refreshment made to chill. 2020 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Celebrate responsibly.
Welcome back to Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light.
Yeah, a great kid. I really like Jack Studnicka. I've got a lot of time for him. And a hardworking kid, too, who I think just was the victim of the numbers game in Vancouver in terms of some of their forward depth, both down the middle and on the wings. He had a really good training camp, and a lot of people expected him to make this team out of camp. Ultimately, he was placed on waivers coming out of camp because of some salary cap issues that the team had, and then was recalled for a brief stretch, but didn't really get into the lineup very much. Studnicka, and I've talked to him about this, really committed himself to improving his game, to becoming a more physical player this past offseason. And he actually had a group of guys that he skated with out in Michigan that were all sort of guys that were in the same situation, players that were bubble players with their NHL team, were trying to become full-time NHLers, had played a bit in the NHL, played a bit in the AHL. And these guys all got together and said, look, we're at the same spot in our careers. We want to battle together. We all want to push each other up the mountain to try and become full-time NHL players. And he had a great summer of training to the point where he really came in and had a good camp. And I think a lot of people in Vancouver thought that he would make the team and potentially be a fixture in the lineup. Ultimately, that didn't happen for him. So I was happy for him when I saw the trade, because you knew he was going to have a better chance to be an impact player in San Jose. And as I said, great kid. I've got a lot of time for him, and I hope he has a lot of success with the group in San Jose because he deserves it with some of the work that he's put in.
All right, welcome back. That is the voice of the Canucks, Brennan Batchelor, talking about Jack Studnicka, who, if you heard the last episode of Morning Tide, did join me for a few minutes. I talked to him on Wednesday afternoon, and he is also going to be spending his Christmas driving back from Vancouver with a van full of all his stuff. So maybe not the ideal way to spend the holiday, but I can think of worse things than driving and listening to some music on hopefully some light roads. If he does it on Christmas Day, he shouldn't have to face too bad of traffic. Tries to do it on Christmas Eve, yeah, then he might be dealing with some real type of traffic. But again, always good to get people's thoughts about it, and speaks to the quality of the player the Sharks were able to pick up. And, you know, when guys speak positively of other players, it doesn't happen by accident. And, you know, I think his point about Studnicka being just involved in a logjam of talent. That's where the Canucks are right now. So if the Sharks can get somebody in, especially with all the injuries they've been taking, the Sharks about the most injured team in the NHL up to this point, which is incredible. It just feels like bad luck. You need players. You need guys. And they were short at centerman. They were able to make an acquisition. And I do think, you know, something that I give a lot of credit to Mike Greer about is he's been able to identify players who can come in and make an impact. And this is, you know, another type of that situation. You look to last year, you saw Mikey Acemont came in and had an impact once he got here. You know, Studnicka, what I've seen from him, it's only a couple games, but I do like his game, and I'm excited to see what he can add to this group going forward. All right, wanted to get into more of that post-game reaction. David Quinn asked about Mackenzie Blackwood not being the problem and how the Sharks are going to go about making lives easier on themselves.
Yeah, way too many. Defensemen have to be way harder around the net and before these guys get to the net. It's too easy to get to our net right now, and it's too easy to stand in front of our net right now. And we're going to change that. It's going to get fixed, and it's an area we're going to get better at.
And Ferraro chimed in talking about how they are making life too easy for their opposition, especially the puck management.
I think just our, you know, managing the puck, our mistakes. I think a lot of our issues were happening in the neutral zone or maybe sometimes in the offensive zone. And they capitalize on our turnovers, you know. I was at fault on one of them, you know, trying to make a play through the middle, and just little things that, you know, we kind of let our game slip for one play here, two plays there, and then, you know, they capitalize. And unfortunately our mistakes have been too costly, and you know, we got to clean that stuff up. We know we do. Our fight was there, you know, we came back, but we can only chase the game so much. So it's just you know, we got to manage the puck a little better.
Mario Ferraro has come on strong on offense as of late. His overall game, in my opinion, has been very, very good, but we take note of the three-point night for him. This is what David Quinn had to say.
I love everything about his game. I really do. I think he's playing with such poise and confidence, and, you know, from an offensive perspective, his decision-making on when to get involved has been very good. You know, I just love his mentality, you know, and this is the best hockey he's played since I've been here over the last 5-6 weeks, and talking to some other players that have watched him here, this is the best hockey he's played, period. So just really happy for him.
Is there anything in particular that Mario attributes to his uptick in play?
I felt good offensively, and, you know, on breakouts and making certain reads. I thought I could have done a better job in the D zone. Maybe boxing out and closing on guys a little quicker, but you know, at the end of the day, just those little mistakes. I myself made a couple little mistakes that were costly, and you know, I'm happy about the things I did well offensively, but, you know, at the end of the day, I got to take care of my own end first. And so it was, there's just positives that I could take from it, but some things that, you know, I'm not happy with that I'll be better at, and try and continue to work on being better for LA when we play them after Christmas.
And Ferraro was asked to expound upon what he's been able to find success with offensively.
I don't really know, to be honest with you. I've just kind of been trying to take care of my own end and play simple and play the way I need to play and play north. But, you know, like I said, it's bittersweet for me tonight because I like the things that I did offensively. But, you know, like you brought up that tie tip goal, I wish I could have taken a stick away. You know, it's just little things like that, you know, I didn't get away with tonight. And I think, you know, offense is not something really that I'm focusing on. I think it's just kind of been coming because I'm playing a little bit more calm and taking care of my own end. I hope to continue to do that and hope to find success that way.
And Ferraro weighed in on the opportunity for the guys to reset over the Christmas break.
Yeah, you know, it's an opportunity for guys to spend some time with family and friends, and you know, it's Christmas. It's, you know, a time to be grateful for the people that we have that support us and our loved ones. And you know, we're gonna do that, and we're gonna live in the now, and we're gonna have a good time with them, and then we're gonna be ready to go on the 27th.
Now, I mentioned earlier that Mackenzie Blackwood was not too happy after the game. I think you can hear it in his voice, even if he was not saying it with his words so much. But this was his reaction when he was asked about the very dangerous opportunities the Sharks were giving up, and of course some of the goals making their way in off the tip.
I mean, you just do the best you can. You try and get big, take away the angle, and if they beat you at the tip, like, I mean, you're not a superhero. Like, you don't have freaking superhero reflexes, so you just try and get big and take away the angle, and if they beat you with a good tip, I mean, not really much you can do.
And when asked how he was going to spend his holiday break?
Definitely away from the rink and with my family.
Yeah, I think you can hear a little bit of the thousand-yard stare in his answers there. Usually Blackwood will give some longer, more wordy, descriptive answers, but he wasn't having it last night. And yeah, I mean, I guess the takeaway is that you want these guys to be a little bit angry. You want them to be ticked off that they're not playing better right now. And obviously this break, the 24th today, 25th and the 26th off, will give them an opportunity. And then when they come back, it's short travel to LA, same time zone. And yes, it is a back-to-back away and home, coming home to face Edmonton, but at least it's all on the West Coast. A 45-minute flight, very, very different than going across the country or something to that nature. But it sounds like Mackenzie Blackwood feels like he's mostly where he wants to be. And again, I don't put any fault at him in last night's game in particular, but he does recognize there are things that he can be doing better. He was asked about where his game is right now.
I actually like overall how my game is. Maybe there's a couple things that we have to work on here and there, keep them sharp, but like, I don't know, man.
It's that final qualifier of I don't know, man. That's him saying that he doesn't know what exactly he needs to be doing because the Sharks are giving up the type of opportunities that, like he said earlier, you'd have to be a superhero to stop. And I think that is a relatively valid take. And I think that the defense needs to be better around him. And it's invalidating a lot of the good that the Sharks are doing. They're giving themselves chances in games, but they're turning the puck over and they're giving up just incredible chances to the opposition. And that simply can't happen. That said, David Quinn doesn't hate where his team is right now.
Yeah, I mean, like I said to the team tonight, you know, we got an opportunity to even a series against the team and that obviously did a lot of damage to us when we first saw them about 7 weeks ago. And, you know, to chip away at it and be competitive here the last time we were here and then win a hockey game in our building and then be in a situation that we were tonight, I think really is a measuring stick to the progress we've made and against one of the better teams in this league. Talk and his staff have done a phenomenal job. They've done a great job putting this team together. They got a little bit of everything. So, you know, just, you know, you want to win hockey games for sure, and we're going to continue to get better.
You have to look at this from both perspectives from the San Jose Sharks. When they played Vancouver the first time this year, they lost 10-1. That was bad. I don't need to rehash that one. Then they played them again in their building and lost 3-1, came back home to the Sharks and beat them. So that's not bad. And then they had a chance to even it up, like Quinn alluded to. You can split that season series and I'll take it. You know, I will look at that situation and think to myself, okay, the Sharks, you know, the first time they played them, it was all Vancouver. Second time, it was a much more competitive game. Third time they beat them. And fourth time, yeah, they're right there with them. They go down 2-0. They fight their way back. Down 4-2, make it 4-3. Down 5-3, make it 5-4. They're giving themselves a chance. That's the most important thing to me is that even in these games that the Sharks are having a hard time, they're still fighting back. I mean, I even look at that game against Colorado in which they lost, you know, 6-2. They were down 3-0 in that game, and they still fought and worked hard to get their way back into it. And I know that you're not trying to get back into a game. That's not going to give you any points in the NHL. But I think you do have to compare that to where they were in losing 10-1 and 10-2. And also 7-1 to Seattle. That's another one we have to take into consideration. You know, those are games where they got away from them. Or you can point even earlier than that, 6-0 to Tampa. You know, the Sharks against the Rangers were down 6-3. They fought their way back into it. You know, they were down big to Colorado, 3-0. They fought their way back into it. You know, they go down 2-0 on the road to Vancouver. They fought their way back into it. You're not going to get any extra credit for fighting your way back into it, but you are going to get just a little bit more self-respect. You're going to feel better about your team's ability to be able to overcome adversity. I think earlier David Quinn talked about the fragility of his group. He talked about, you know, just the fact that they weren't, you know, communicating with each other. There wasn't a lot of trust out there. That's not the issue that I see with the Sharks right now. Those were more fundamental team doesn't know each other type issues. Now when I watch the Sharks, I feel like they can beat anybody, but they can also beat themselves very, very consistently. And if you beat yourself in the NHL, guess what? It's going to be hard to come back to no matter who you are. Like you can only shoot yourselves in the foot so many times before you don't have a leg to stand on. And that's what it felt like the Sharks have done in far too many games as of late, and specifically in the last two games against Arizona and Vancouver. And you hope that a couple days off, some rest, will give their team the chance to kind of reset and get back to where they need to be and find a little bit more consistency to their game. Because for the month of December, it has been all over the place, whether they're out there on the road, whether they're bleeding goals, whether they're scoring a lot of goals, whether they're not scoring anything. It's been a wild ride for the Sharks, but hopefully now they'll get the break they need and come back ready to roll on the 27th against LA. Have a great holiday, everyone. Don't drink and drive. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
You've been listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light on the Sharks Audio Network.